Welcome to the Gary Gallaher Law Hour. Attorney Gary Gallaher and his firm have represented thousands of Hawaii workers and families during more than 35 years' practice throughout the islands. Whether helping countless workers exposed to asbestos unknowingly in their jobs, filing suit against gas companies for unfair local pricing, or representing the state of Hawaii and winning a settlement against Big Tobacco, the Gallaher Law Firm helps fight for consumer advocacy and fair play for the people of Hawaii. No kopono on your behalf. Now, Gary and his team are here to take the mystery out of what they do and answer your legal questions. So here's the host of our show, Mike Buck, and Hawaii attorney, Gary Gallaher.
Welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us, as always. And today it is the team. Team Gallaher is here. And one of the things that I've told you about in previous programs with Gary is that I have the opportunity to spend a little time down at the office. And one day when I was there a couple of weeks back, I was given a little reading material while I was waiting to see the guys, and it was called Elder Abuse in Hawaii. And it was a guide written by a staff attorney with Gary that you're going to meet in a little bit. And I don't want to say, Gary, that it shocked me, but it saddened me to know that your firm and that others have had to get proactive and put together these materials because of the aging kupuna we have are creating some great opportunities to give them care, but also some great opportunities for them to be abused. Isn't that awful?
Oh, it is. It's very, very sad, Mike. We have found in our practice that people are very trusting in Hawaii, and without question, people's parents are best taken care of at home. But the economic realities are such, we have single parents, we have just grinding economic needs that force many children to put their mother or father or both or auntie in care homes because they just physically cannot afford not to work in order to stay home and take care.
Is it my imagination or is it true that these places, these neighborhood facilities, they seem to be popping up all over the place here on Oahu anyway, just everywhere?
Well, it is. It's the population. It's the baby boomers mm-hmm. are getting of that age. They need elder care. Mm-hmm. So it's growing. And the business people that know how to harness this have looked ahead and have very astutely invested in care home facilities. And if you're a child or someone in the family and you're looking for a place, people generally assume when they put someone in a care home or an assisted living that everything's going to be wonderful there.
That's why when I picked up this brochure in your office, and I can tell you from personal experience, folks, it was just like it hit me like a thunderbolt because we had our mom in a care facility and our father. I mean, even though they were divorced and for years and years, they both passed away of Alzheimer's, and it was sort of ironic that both of them were there. So when I picked this thing up, I thought the day that we moved mom into this really nice, beautiful residential home up in Manoa back in the day, 10 years ago, that it was, wow, this is like heaven. We don't have to worry about mom anymore. And I'm wondering how many thousands of people have things going on with their loved ones that they just don't know about because they're under the impression, because the place is open for business, they're doing the right thing.
No, you cannot assume that. Frequently, things go well or oftentimes, but people come to us and they're reporting how do things first unfold is that they went to visit mom and something didn't smell right. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that the bedding wasn't changed.
Wow.
And for days or even weeks in certain spots. And the children or the relatives really have to become advocates for whatever relative is there. Make sure that they inspect them when they help them go to the bathroom, that there are no bed sores. Make sure that funny smell, that they don't want to be rude and check, that they do check. They put their nose right down there and make sure that the sheets have been changed and the mattress is not soiled, because unfortunately those things do happen.
Let me ask you this, because in our family, and I'm not saying that we're ideal or anything else or any different than any other family, but we made a habit, one of us, and I have, you know, there's four siblings, four of us all together with spouses, so that's eight people. We sort of took turns having dinner with mom. You know, so that means every day. But I know there are a lot of families that for whatever the issues, and a lot of them, and you can explain this, are financial. Mom and dad have to go out and take second jobs and third jobs to get Tutu into the place. They can't go visit because they're out trying to make a living doing that. How safe are these, some of these places if you aren't checking or being proactive?
Well, you have to. There's a whole spectrum of assisted living, a quality of help. Everyone assumes when they go in the front door, there's a real professional, upgraded facility. It's brand new, fresh paint, and wonderful professionals do the intake and registered nurses, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and there's lots of employees that have the bare bones minimum high school education, just trained on the job, that actually do the day in and day out function.
Well, it, what about when you're as a family member or a, you know, the mom or you know, the son or the daughter taking care of mom or dad, and you expect maybe some sort of certification or some sort of, you know, degree or some sort of something. Do we are we at that point in Hawaii where these people are registered and pass muster of some kind?
Well, you have to recognize that there's three or four levels, different levels that start out with an arch. It's a small facility with one or two people taking care of three, four, five patients or someone there. Then there's an assisted living. And if someone gets more and more needs, they need a skilled nursing facility and all the way up. So there's different requirements at different levels.
Okay. At what point in time did you, as the, you know, the Papa Bear of Gallagher Law, decide, all right, we're going to get together and we're going to look into this and we're going to formulate something? I mean, I think that this guide is fantastic. I mean, it certainly gives you something to look at.
Well, it's like all things. When we get involved in a case, we send out our probe for all information that's available. There's national conferences and seminars we attend, and we're involved with lawyers and experts that do various aspects of these cases, and we bring the best back to Hawaii. So in order to advise our clients, we put our team to work, and we have done that with elder abuse, and we've represented are in the process of representing cases that start out with occasional falls, more frequent falls, with bed sores, and the quality of life of that person just goes downhill to the point that they, what they call, fail to thrive, and they actually die.
Yeah.
We had a very tragic other circumstance where a person got trapped in a bed rail. They were supposed to be checked hourly, and they weren't. They were left hanging in a bed rail for half the night and came out totally disabled.
So
we've seen the whole spectrum.
Well, you know, I just took one incident to forever ruin whatever quality of life that person had left.
Oh, exactly. Very, very tragic. A young person by standards of assisted living, 65, and then that person is no longer with us because of the whole cascade of bad things that unfolded.
This program today, folks, from Gallagher Law at gallagherlaw.com, is not an instruction manual on how to choose a home. More is that, or facility, but more is to learn what you already learned, I guess, Gary, through clients and through observation and through the need of producing this handbook, is that we have, it's not a small little manini thing. It's getting to be pretty serious.
Oh, it is. It's very serious, and people are forced into it. Nobody abandons their parents, or that doesn't happen in Hawaii. We haven't seen that in the case. Sometimes kids have to go to the mainland. They trust the facility to take care of, but they don't. That's why you really have to have a network of relatives and close friends that will monitor and be the advocate for that person that's in there.
You know, let me ask you this, because I don't think this has happened yet. I do know what you mentioned is on the mainland. Sometimes people from here, and I know a couple whose parents have gone to a senior assisted living community, like in, you know, in Florida or in Southern California, Arizona, some of these other places, where they really got it under control. They've got doctors, you know, nurses, everything on site. We don't really have too many of them here. Maybe land is not available. Maybe who knows why.
Mike, unfortunately, what you're thinking of, the image you have in mind, is almost like a Hollywood front.
Is that right?
Yes. That's what's the picture that is presented. And I'm not saying there aren't circumstances where that really happens, but more often than not, there's a sales presentation that gives you that image.
Very slick.
Very slick. To where someone says there's a memory care unit and they ask for another $1,000, $1,500 a month. And when you look into it, what do they really get for that memory care unit? not a thing other than a stronger lock.
Yeah, that's and yet, you know, I try to stay upbeat here and look for whatever good things there are. Now, obviously, there must be, you know, a large number of these places that if you really do your homework and are involved and proactive, you're going to get the level of care you expect. But it also seems that it's creating more opportunity for abuse. Excuse the expression.
Unfortunately, there's a business drive behind this. That's, you know, there's nothing wrong with business, and there's nothing wrong with making a profit. But in order to assure your loved one, your mom, your dad, your auntie is really taken care of, you got to stay on it and establish a good rapport with the charge nurse, the people that are really there on a daily basis, and follow through. And in a nutshell, be the advocate for whoever you have there and satisfy yourself. You just can't assume that that wonderful professional look you saw the first day or what got you in there or caught your eye, oh, this is wonderful, is reality. You need to do your own. Exactly. And if there's one charge nurse and three or four high school graduates that don't have any training other than on the job, which is legal, it's not the same. And if somebody gets in trouble, who's going to take care of them?
What one thing that I think, and I've actually asked you similar questions in other programs. I do know that it's very, very difficult to place value on a life of a person or things. I do know that there's formulas and things that are used in law to determine that. But what's the game here? The end game is, isn't it, if you have a loved one that is under abuse, how do you tell some of these things? And more importantly, what can you do about it? And when can you do something about it?
Well, if someone's in a place and they're not being taken care of, if the bed sheets are soiled, or more importantly, if there's a lesion or a bed sore that develops, get the doctors involved. Make sure the health care is being taken care
of. You're
talking
about an off-site, I mean a doctor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. These assisted living, they don't generally have doctors there. They have to, and you keep on with your own doctor, your own gerontologist. We have excellent physicians in this town, excellent doctors. You have to keep going and working with them. And that's been our experience, that when someone finds something like this, and these bed sores can change really dramatically and really go downhill, and all kind of bad infections or MRSA, all kind of bad things can unfold really quick. When that comes to someone's attention in our office, we help people evaluate that behind the scenes.
Okay, well, what about this? A lot of times, your geriatric doctor, you know, will tell you that, you know, your mom or your dad's going to need more care than you are capable of giving. Here's some places that we have researched and that we can recommend. What about that referral? I mean, are some of the doctors referring the right places? Are they under the little umbrella of ignorance, too?
No, the doctors and physicians we work with are very dedicated professionals. Some are on the road that go from facility to facility to facility every day that might service six or seven different wands, and they have been wonderful. We want to have proactive children and relatives helping those people that are in these facilities.
Okay, let's get down to what happened here when you first of all recognize the need and then said, okay, gang, team, we're going to get together and we're going to do something about this. Let's talk about how you have built up a division within Gallagher Law to help people that feel they might be in this circumstance.
Okay, well, first of all, we'll have someone, I'll have an appoint and start working things up, and we'll gather up all the information available to us that applies to a certain case. And since that time, I've had Anthony Carr in our office, Tony, be sort of the lead person. He backed me up on these cases that we first got involved in, and I'm still the lead attorney in them, but we'll have three, four, five, six people. I have a full-time nurse with me that's been with me for three decades, Cynthia Davis, who's excellent, very smart, dedicated. She's just one of our team. But Tony here is the editor-in-chief, if you will, that put together this brochure for our office having to do with elder abuse. And
Tony,
he's here with me today.
Yeah, and Tony, I noticed this right away when you took on this project. Talk maybe a little bit, if you don't mind, about the passion in which you're involved in it, because it looks like you did a lot of thinking and a lot of organizing of this material, so it's user-friendly.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. like you folks have been talking about, a lot of the incidents that we've seen come into our office were preventable. And I think that's where our passion starts, is helping to spread awareness and knowledge of these different issues, whether it be the different standard of care the facilities offer, mm-hmm. dangers of bed rails, spreading awareness to the community so that they're armed with that knowledge, that information, so that these avoidable incidents stop happening. And while it might be impossible mm-hmm. to completely eliminate them, at least we can see a decline.
Well, there would be, Gary, those stages. I mean, if you are contemplating putting mom or dad into a facility, now you're armed with this information, you're going to hopefully ferret out a place that's going to be a safe haven for that person. But I'm talking about, what about people, and there must be literally dozens, hundreds more of people that are in some sort of facility, and who knows that they're even being abused. If you don't go visit them, how are you going to know that?
No, you have to do that. And the main thing is, do what you would normally do for your mom or your dad or your auntie, and make sure they're escorted, they're accompanied to their doctor's appointments, and be just a little bit more naily or nosy than you normally would, just to make sure that, you know, the smells or the odors aren't just a one-off, you know, I didn't take a bath today, and, you know, that's fine, that's understandable. On the other hand, there's schedules that have to be maintained. And families can do it in Hawaii in a real nice way and establish a real positive connection with professional staff that are at most of these facilities. And as Tony said, avoid 90% of the problems we've seen.
What about, you know, we've talked about elder abuse outside of homes, you know, people that have a caregiver in their house or somebody that's taking care of them, steals their jewelry or talks them out, gets them to sign checks, do all that kind of stuff. That's financial abuse as well as everything else. But what about, you know, even the detection process must be quite difficult. Because here, a lot of us local families and old folks, they don't want to complain. They don't want to make waves. They just think it's normal. That's what happens here.
No, that's a sad part of it. But again, I don't know how to say it any better than we have to view ourselves as children of these parents, of our parents and our aunties and uncles, to be advocates for them. And when someone's brought in part-time, that you just have a keener eye to that person mm-hmm. and you're not totally naive. Or in an ideal world, people can stay at home. Yeah. In my view, that's where people are most comfortable until the level of care is such that they have to go to another facility. But 9 times out of 10, the person wants to stay at home. They're comfortable there. They have their surroundings. They have their kind of food. And, you know, that's – but each family is different.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Obviously, if they need skilled nursing care all the time, that's a different level of care. And there's a lot more regulation that goes into that, national as well as local. And we've found the national and local – officials on that tend to be very, very conscientious.
Well, what about this? I mean, you know, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, if you take a look at the multi-pronged life that we live, here we have our family, our kupuna getting older, and lots of our marriages aren't together. So, I mean, you know, you've got double households, stepchildren, you got all this kind of stuff all over the place. And quite often, when somebody gets to the point where they need care, anybody capable of care is out working all day every day. And they need to hire somebody to come into the home. What about that end of things?
That's frequently the financial realities mm-hmm. are that. We also know family, and you yourself probably know, and listeners probably know, people that can manage to spend more time and give that caregiving is sometimes one of the most valuable life lessons or valuable experiences they have in their life. Now, don't get me wrong. You can get burned out doing this. But every case is individual. Every case is different. And different levels of forgetfulness affect us all. But when it becomes serious, someone needs to be there, and that relationship becomes very, very close. So again, it depends on which level of care you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Tony, let's take a look at you know, the task that you took on to produce this document. First of all, I've noticed that it's an important enough thing in Team Gallagher about this approach to this. As a matter of fact, it's one of the buttons that you can go when you go to GallagherLaw.com. You can find some place to look. I think that is a comfort level already. But let's talk about the opportunity that you had to put this, edit this thing, get it together, and what you had in mind, and more importantly, how it's doing.
Yeah, like you said, Mike, you can go to GallagherLaw.com or HawaiiElderAbuse.com, another specialty site that we've developed to help get this information out there. It's a free copy. Our goal is that the folks get this information before incidents happen so that they can help prevent those incidents.
Do you find that people that are doing this, that are getting up in front of the curve instead of behind it, it's so much more difficult, I think, to try and fix something when you've got a family member in the negative side of what we're talking about?
Of course. Once you're in the facility and you have that comfort level, that's one thing. But one of the major points we're trying to stress in this guide here is the fit in the facility, making sure that your loved one, whoever needs the housing, that they get the right level of care, and that you understand, if you're going to put them in an assisted living facility, exactly what level of care to expect, as opposed to an adult residential care home, a community care foster home, a skilled nursing home. They're all different. They all have unique places out there, and not everyone is right for each individual.
You know, Gary, I'm worried that what we talked about earlier, that when you recognize the need in your family to do this, that how are you going to see through the nice-looking lady in the intake area that takes you to the lunch and walks you around and you say hello to a couple of people and just, gee, I think I found heaven. I think this is the place for Mom.
Well, it's just how to be educated and go with a healthy degree of skepticism. Mm-hmm. You want to see that, and of course it's nice and neat and clean, but you know, you see the litigation on our side, and we found out, as opposed to that Hollywood front behind, there can be people being asked to move from one room to another because they have somebody downstairs who wants to sign a contract. Mm-hmm. So there's a reality there that you want to be, you know, it's like buying a car or used car. You got to have this thing checked out, and you really want to know. Talk to other people, and make sure that your trusted people or colleagues that you're relying on really have done their due diligence.
You know, Gary, I get really, really worried, and I think that it's because, you know, you've already identified the need to get into this, and I know that the skepticism is a healthy one, but people want, where's the light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, when you do determine this, when something smells bad when you go visit Tutu, or you see these bed sores, what do you do? I mean, what do you do to get peace of mind or get something, rescue this person out of that place?
Well, you need certainly a bed sore needs to be seen by a doctor immediately. You don't leave the facility until there's some medical intervention, mm-hmm. whether it's either emergency room or to the treating physician, the primary treating physician, or the gerontologist, whatever it is. With respect to lack of cleanliness of their sheets that are soiled and on and on and on, you need to stay on that and be an advocate on the spot and document it and get something to where they agree they're going to do X and Y and Z. They're going to check those sheets every day. If your mother or father has a problem and cannot maintain that bladder control or whatever, make sure that they're checking that, and there has to be additional care. What you cannot do is assume an assisted living, because the price is, as you said, starts out at $3,000 or some number, and the next level is a big leap. Mm-hmm. You can't insist that they stay there and not get help. You got to stay on it, be honest about what level of care, as Tony referred to, they really need.
You know what I think that it would be interesting to the audience, if you guys can discuss the numbers that came to your attention that made you realize, Gary, that your firm had to spend a lot of time and study this and learn about this and learn how to help people. Because I looked at some of the stats that were produced by Tony and some of the things on your website. There's a lot of people involved in this business.
Well, it is. You know, we have the demographics of it are such that the baby boomers are getting older, and many of them haven't taken care of themselves. As one of our old mutual friends used to say, is, you know, if I had known I was going to live so long, I would have taken better care of myself. But anyhow, it's sad, but people are that way and really need the help, and there's support around them depends on how much money or financial security they have or how much actual time. Most of us are used to taking care of people in our home, and that's the ideal world, but it's not always that way. But the numbers that are out there nationally are startling, and we have some business people out there that have figured out strategies and take over companies, or one company takes over another company nationally, and they learn very efficient ways to do it. Well, unfortunately, the way to maximize profit is to minimize overhead, and that does not always mean the best care. So Tony's done a lot of work on this area, and there's some startling things that have happened nationally. And we're a little bit naive until we actually get involved in a case, and then we figure out what went wrong. And as Tony said, inevitably, every single time it could have been avoided. And I'm advocating for kids and children to advocate for whoever it is in this assisted living
Gary,
facility.
What about some of the things when you started to put these things together? I mean, you know, you're the young gunslinger here as far as getting, you know, facts and figures together. How alarmed did you get finding out how wide of a concern this is?
Well, here's the most recent numbers we have, Mike. In 2014, the Adult Protective and Community Services Branch in Hawaii reported 801 cases of elder abuse.
Reported,
right. Exactly. Yeah. Every study out there tells you that for every case that goes reported, anywhere between 10 to 24 cases goes unreported.
Yikes.
And locally, part of that is social and cultural influences, but it's also the very reason why these folks are in these homes, whether mentally or physically, they're compromised in some fashion, and they can't always be their own advocate. And that's why it's so important for you as a loved one to get involved and to make sure that you're looking out for the warning signs.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about when I asked Gary a while ago, and I'll ask you the same thing, is that sometimes mom or dad, they're ashamed. They don't want you to know that they have a bed sore. So they're not going to let it all hang out so you can see it. They're going to be kind of dicey when you ask them. I remember this with my mom, dear, rest her soul. And, you know, you say, "Hey, mom, how you feeling?" "It was always fine, very nice." You know, that's not the case sometimes.
And what we've seen that you're getting after as well is that a lot of these folks, they know that these caregivers are responsible for their care. Mm-hmm. The last thing that they want to do is to call them out and to blame them for doing something wrong to them because they're scared of what's going to happen next.
I was going to say, Gary, we talked about this in other things. There is fear of retaliation. There's fear of safety that, you know, this guy, you never know, sweetie, when you come and visit me, that this guy is always giving me bad time, but when he's here, when you're here, he's real nice and everybody's happy. Some people say that anyway, just to get the attention of their loved one. But how do you parse through that to find out what's really going on?
Well, it's just like anything else, Mike. Being a good parent or being a good relative in this circumstance, it takes some diligence, and you got to figure that out yourself. Because if you stay on it, there cannot be retaliation. If you stay on it, they can't represent one thing and do something else. There's something called unfair and deceptive business practices. And once people are on this, or once they know someone's looking out after a relative, and they're being fair about it, they just want to be honest about it, it usually gets fixed and the problem avoided. It's just when we look the other way or pretend it's not happening that the real problem happens.
You all get together and really run the numbers on just about everything. And I do know that a lot of these places are contractual, you know, that you go in and you agree that you're going to purchase this space, you're going to do this space. I would imagine that there'd be any number of ways that you can get out of one of those arrangements if you can prove that you're not getting either the level of service or care that you expect.
Oh, yeah. There can be changes made to that. But it's been our experience, the facilities want to accommodate. They want to make changes. So if you're just on it and you put something in writing, they've agreed to take your mom and they're going to check on her every hour, and there's a note made of that, and you make a note yourself who you talk to and what's going to be done, and you just follow up on that. It generally gets done.
Is there, Anthony, when you were scouting out and learning some of this stuff, is that some of the stuff that these places will share with somebody that's going to find mom or dad a place, as far as, okay, you know, Gary just said, well, if you put down, you're going to get looked at hourly, Hopefully there's like a watch clock or something they can prove that they did that. But what if you don't know even to assume what's going on with that?
Yeah, we found in our practice most facilities should and do share that type of information, whether it's a resident service plan, a nursing assessment. They do have a duty to share that with the family and the loved ones. But again, like we've been talking about, it's one thing to put something down on paper. Here's our intention. Here's our policies and procedures. Here's what we say we're going to do in a contract. It's another thing to actually follow through on that.
Yeah, see, here's the thing that I got when Gary said a few minutes ago that, you know, sometimes you're going to get into this memory, this extra care by you're going to have the memory expert and you're going to pay an extra $1,000 or $15 a month, $1,500, and you're not getting anything.
No, for sure. I think a lot of these people, Mike, find themselves in very difficult situations where they want to keep their loved one in their home with them, but they're forced to find a solution. And the answer isn't always easy. So when they find this facility with these beautiful lawns and they have all the right answers and they say everything that they're looking to hear in these marketing materials, they can take it at face value. The key is to go that extra step further and to ask the key questions. What are your staffing levels like? Have you been cited by the state before? Mm-hmm. What's actually behind the curtain?
Yeah, and hopefully you get the truth. I think, though, Gary, there's, you know, more than half of our audience, I'm sure, throughout the state and listening online. And by the way, you can hook up with other shows. You can go to GallagherLaw.com, see some of the other things that we've done together and listen to them at your leisure. But what I'm concerned about is maybe there's a lot of families out there that aren't to that level financially where they can put somebody in a place. So they're doing it in home. They're going to go out to work. They're going to have a caregiver come in at 7:30 in the morning. When they come home from work at 4, the caregiver goes away. What about that sort of opportunity and I guess multiplicity of abuse happening in that situation?
We've been fortunate on that, or most people have been fortunate on that, that if they find out something, whoever supplied that person will change that person. Mm-hmm. But you just got to stay diligent and stay on it. You can't assume that things are hunky-dory or turn the other way. You got to be diligent about whatever you do.
I got to interrupt because this is, you know, this happened in our family when we went, and I've been on the board of the Alzheimer's Association ever since my mom got diagnosed, so that's way over 20 years. We wanted to feel comfortable, so we took turns doing the surprise visit, you know? In other words, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon when all four of us were working somewhere, hopefully knock on wood that we're not unemployed, but, you know, working, drive over to mom's and go check it out. And if she was there just watching TV, and lady was in the guest room snoozing, you think, wait a minute, that's not right. You're not getting paid to nap here. You're supposed to be doing this. So there are some things that you have to be proactive about and take responsibility for.
Oh, exactly. The other source I might share with you is we have actual employees of care homes or assisted living homes that have come to us or sent confidential information to us.
Isn't that wonderful?
We protect those people.
Yeah.
They can call, you know, Anthony Carr or Clarice Gabashigawa, anyone at our firm, and say, oh, you know, confidentially, there's this thing going on. And what we can do is guide them behind the scenes how to make a complaint, or we can do it confidentially. And if they tell us something in confidence, it will remain in confidence.
Yeah, that is so important. Folks, if you know that some of the regular shows I've done, our monthly visit with Kim Buffett and others from Crime Stoppers, that anonymity is really important. And I'm hoping that if anybody's listening to this now, is that some of you out there may have a neighbor that has somebody in their home all day taking care of their loved ones, and you're noticing loud yelling, or you're noticing crying, or you're hearing things that sound out of whack. There are other options as well, right? I mean, you can call a Crime Stoppers, you can call a cops, but when somebody comes out of a home, that must be for you guys really, really valuable information to share with your clients.
Oh, without a doubt. We've been fortunate in a few cases to get that type of information that, of course, the facility would never give to us. Mm-hmm. And I would just urge anybody out there, if maybe your loved one is in a facility and maybe you've seen something going on in the door next door, or maybe, you know, you've spoken with an employee who's expressed some concerns to you, like you've said, it's in complete confidence with us, and that information will be of use.
I don't want to say that, you know, as you get older in Gary's profession, like we all are, whether skepticism is part of your daily makeup every day. But I want to make sure that people understand that Gallagher Law is not necessarily saying that every rest facility in Hawaii is abusing their people. There are certain good faith-based or other companies, but isn't that part of the due diligence that somebody listening might really want to say, hey, we didn't do this in the beginning, it's not too late, let's double back here and make sure that mom or dad's in the right place?
Oh, no, and it can be subtle, and you can do it in a nice way that's mm-hmm. honest, that it's not, you know, being sneaky or duplicitous, yeah. but you're just doing the right job. I do want to underscore the one thing that we found out time in and time again. We found the nurses, the charge nurses that are there on the job, really want to do a good job. Mm-hmm. And they really try, and they're really dedicated. And that's why they're in that line of business, whether it's in hospice or they find themselves in these care homes. They really want to do a good job. And they tell us that, you know, well, sometimes we can't do this because they won't pay for that. Mm-hmm. We get those kinds of pieces of information, and there can't be a retaliation or a whistleblower, somebody get fired for that.
Yeah, of course.
And there's a long ways, many, many steps that we can back those people up. And we're after the same goal. Mm-hmm. We're trying to up the level of care for everybody.
You know,
and the way we do that is mm-hmm. a case where we found where there's really wrongdoing, we make it really clear. That's our mm-hmm. motive. That's what we're really after.
Every now and again, we see some horror story in a school where the student-to-teacher ratio is way out of whack. What about places that may be understaffed or maybe, you know, taking on more than they can handle, contributing to maybe not necessarily abuse, but certainly not getting the level of attention that you think you're paying for?
We see that all the time, and the professionals that are there that want to get it at the highest level confide that information in us, or we find it out. Now, oftentimes, in some of the cases we've litigated, we find that out after the fact.
Yeah.
But there's places in personnel records where they can document these kind of things, and when it's brought to our attention, we can walk employees or potential whistleblowers through how to do it correctly, and it protects them as well as their profession and the clients that are there. And it's just not a money game. These companies are making a lot of money or serious, you know, profit. That's not our issue. Let's just do the job right that we all expect and rely on them to do.
You know, Anthony, I guess at the end of the day, when somebody goes through this elder abuse in Hawaii materials that you put together, and when they start thinking of, oh boy, we have a problem. When Gary mentions litigation, what are the conditions that would be a precursor for litigation in one of these cases?
Well, Mike, we've represented, you know, a whole range, the whole spectrum of clients, all mm-hmm. different types of injuries, from wrongful deaths to falls, whatever it is. The bottom line is, like Gary said, we're trying to raise the standard of care here in the community. So if you or someone you know has been injured in any way whatsoever, or if you even are concerned about the possibility, give us a call. And if there's anything we can do, point you in another direction. If we can't help you, we'll give you the right resources.
By the way, this is a toll-free call. If you go to the website, it's pretty easy. Go to GallagherLaw.com, GallagherLaw.com. I guess maybe, Gary, the other thing is that, you know, since you decided to grab a hold of this tiger by the tail, what's the light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, you said how do we make these people step up and do the right thing? Is there a plan?
No, there is. I mean, we're doing and we're cooperating with whoever comes to us. We try to assist. Every case we have, the bottom line is to up the level of care. And we have been told, quite frankly, by some of the defendant through a lawyer that they appreciate. They thought they were doing things right and they weren't. And then the persons that we develop relationships with that were in cases where witnesses, were charged nurses, have confided in us. They really try to do the right thing, but they wouldn't put the money and resources and the recommendations. We work with those people. So every single case we've been involved in, we think has made a positive contribution. And we think this is all cumulative. And getting the word out, as Tony said, this is all preventable. The vast, vast majority, all this is preventable. And if we just get more education, more work out there, and people a little more proactive, they can avoid a whole host of problems. Because once one of these things, a fall or a bed sore, if it's not taken care of, can be a downhill slide that causes a failure to thrive. And it's someone having a rich life for another 10 years, it's cut short to two or three. It's tragic, but it can be avoided.
You know, in previous programs, for example, in the last couple of weeks, folks, here on the Gallagher Law Hour, we've talked about other things. And today is not the day we're going to talk about concussions in high school and college and professional athletes. But it's another way to give you an example of a bottoms-up approach to getting a situation rectified and dealt with. These aren't all big, glamorous, court cases. These are fixing things at the entry level. So what I guess the takeaway here is part of what you're trying to do is make sure that these people that do realize that they're going to take that opportunity, get into this business and provide care, they better do it right because people are going to be watching them.
No, exactly. But also for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody takes pride in what they do professionally, or they should, and we want that to be, whether it's our professional, legal profession, we're very proud about the kind of cases we represent and the families and what we're doing for the good of Hawaii. Likewise, every single case we're involved in, there's a like set of professionals that are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. In the concussion cases, it's the trainers, it's the coaches, and bringing all this national information we have at the highest, most sophisticated level of brain injury research, we bring that cutting-edge research here that can be employed to prevent this catastrophic injury from happening.
Those of you that are just driving on happen to stumble on the Gallagher Law Hour today, if you go to gallagherlaw.com, and I hope that you do, because every time you hear us talk about one of these other sidebar things, there's usually a past program that we've done on it or something that's coming up, something that you can listen to at your leisure. And I guess the whole reason why, and many of you that have been listening know that Gary and I have known each other for decades, and it's now at the point in his company's career with his team that you're electing to put stuff back in it. Obviously, you know, this is a great effort by you and Tony and others on trying to, I guess, provide tools, provide information for people to get a little bit more akamai on what's going on, particularly with their family.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. From a standpoint, we don't want to just look at a legal recovery, and we've done the best in the eyes of the law, but we learn so much. And as Tony said, most of this is avoidable. And once we learn that, we want to share that information mm-hmm. that will help families avoid these tragic ends that don't need to happen. And likewise, give encouragement to the professionals out there or the whistleblowers that are out there that will share information with us, and we can push them and move things in the right direction that's going to benefit all of us here in Hawaii.
Yeah, so if you're just joining us and you maybe missed what we're talking about before, Anthony, you can help on this. If you've got a concern about your parent or about somebody that you know or somebody that you care about or maybe even somebody that you work with or somebody that's not being looked after the right way, there's a way that you can be, I guess, for want of a better expression, Anthony, to get it off your chest, to let somebody know, hey, I don't know if this is of value to you, but I see this. I don't want anything. I just want you to know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. We're trying to not only raise awareness, but we're here for folks in the community. If you or someone that you know has been injured, or if you work at one of these facilities, you've seen wrongdoing, if there's anything that we can do for you as it relates to elder abuse, please give us a call. Visit our website.
Yeah, and that's Gallagher, G-A-L-I-H-E-R, GallagherLaw.com. You know, Gary, with all the things, I know that a lot of your team, they're younger and maybe less patient than you are, knowing that you have to effectuate change, you have to be very, very patient about all this. Do you find that? I mean, you know, of course, you've got a spectrum on the team, and like you mentioned, the nurse at 30-odd years, you got a pretty good handle on this, but it still must be, you must have to be dad every now and again and say, don't rush it, you know, we got to be patient, we're going to change things little by little.
You're pretty funny, Mike. You're the first person to ever accuse me of being patient.
No. I don't know if patient is the right word. Maybe accepting of the fact it takes a little longer to fix some things than it might sometimes.
The most people accuse me of going around with my hair on fire trying to make it happen right now. All I know is I have an incredibly talented team mm-hmm. and committed team that's engaged to help me get the right answers. And we have such a powerful team. When we put it together, there's answers or questions raised for me that I didn't even think of. And I'll have somebody with a skill set that I don't have, and it's usually somebody with a skill set mm-hmm. that has more than a modicum of patience that I need to back me up. So okay. that's pretty funny, your okay. sense
so,
of humor.
So we can turn that into an actual a program or a game plan, Anthony. Let's talk about that a little bit. Obviously, you get together as a team, you develop certain goals, maybe some criteria on how to get to them. How often does this come up, and how hard or how effective is the planning sessions and all the stuff you're doing?
We do have some specific initiatives and goals in this, Mike. One of our calls to action for these facilities is for greater transparency, especially in marketing. If you're going to market a special care unit, such as a memory care unit, you have a duty to tell the public what are they getting extra for that memory care unit. And another call to action to industry, Mike, is greater resources being dedicated to resident care. Mm-hmm. That means higher pay for more qualified individuals, more in-service training. Give these folks the tools that they need yeah. to be successful in what they do.
Yeah, you know, Gary, we've talked about that again in other sessions. You talk about, you know, the disparaging difference in pay and services, and people like caregivers, they're obviously moved. They want to do this. You say there's plenty of money in these homes. Wouldn't that mean that some of these homes, what they better do is kick some of that money back to the people that are working there?
Well, that's what we would hope, and that's what Tony just hit there. And mm-hmm. oftentimes, you've seen the national takeover game is if economies of scale or more efficiency to get more profit to mm-hmm. the national investors. We're at the other end of that spectrum. We want the best quality care, and as Tony said, every one of these places has some degree of in-service education. We want more of that and better of that. Everyone's going to take greater pride in their work if they know what to look for and how to do it.
But, you know, Gary, here's the bottom line. If your idea is to rescue mom or dad from an uncomfortable situation, this is doable. If you go notice these things, you can do something about that right away. But what about the people who say, hey, you know what? Now that we've come to the realization of this, this place has been jerking around mom or dad for a while, and their quality of life has suffered, or they've died. I mean, what do we do for families that get themselves into one of these situations? They're paying thousands of dollars a month, and they're getting a disservice rather than a service.
That's where they see us, and the full tilt legal service mm-hmm. kicks in, and we evaluate everything free of charge. We look, we investigate, we do everything we can. We get selected medicals. We look at everything. And at the end of the day, if there's a claim, we will do what needs to be done legally. If there's not, we will advise the clients.
Yeah.
We don't think there's a claim because of XYZ.
Okay.
But we, the whole spectrum of services.
Mm. Okay, what I want you to do, just to show yourself, even if you're not going to actually do it today, if you go to GallagherLaw.com, you're going to see a blue page that says free case evaluation. And very simply, your name, your email, your subject, and about your case. And I know that one of the things, Anthony, that there's a couple of you that are the frontline guys that get these requests, and talk about not only the anonymity that Gary mentioned before, but how quickly somebody is going to actually deal with me when I send you an email and need some help.
Oh yeah, Mike, you know, immediately after we receive one of these forms, case evaluations, whether it's a phone call, we'll mm-hmm. dig right in. We'll start our investigation immediately, and we'll do our best to work diligently, get an answer. If we can help these folks, if we can represent them, it starts immediately.
Okay, so once again, remind people maybe what the goals or what the initiatives are. In other words, what are you doing to not just pigeonhole me, but to put me in a group or put me in a place where I'm going to get the attention that I apparently am going to need?
Well, here's the thing, Mike. We're getting more and more of these cases, and my goal is that stops. Mm-hmm. 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, we start getting less of these cases. And so we do that by going after these facilities aggressively, dig in deeper than anybody else possibly could. And the end goal is raise the standard of care so that less of these cases are coming into our office.
With all the things that we talk about, Gary, we talk about asbestos, we talk about tobacco, we talk about faulty products, we talk about now this elder abuse. It must seem that, you know, there aren't enough hours in the day to prepare people for all of the things that are lurking out there to challenge their life and challenge their enjoyment of life.
Mike, it's amazing that so many people are so trusting with their lives, whether it's asbestos and you're working around this material, it looks harmless, you know, like a mechanic working around grease. It's just part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, For the first time, I heard a statistic quoted to me that the number of mesothelioma cases have started to decline. 1%, there's 3,000 cases diagnosed nationally, have started to come down. Mm-hmm. That's heartening to me. The fact that we're still involved in those cases, as tragic as they are, people live longer and they're starting to actually live into their diagnoses. That means things are starting to move in the right direction.
You know, but I got to react. I saw some things in a showcase in your office, which are examples of some of the horrific stuff that's gone on that people have worked with that's been documented and everything else. How big of a home run grand slam is it for you personally when something that you've been against for so long does get withdrawn from a market, does get pulled out of a product, does get removed from the removed from our lives because of concern about it being harmful rather than profitable?
Oh, it's hugely rewarding. You know, we get very, very close to our clients. Recently, we represented someone who was 82, had mesothelioma, just one of the most wonderful persons that I've ever known and met, and was so skilled with his hands as a welder, a machinist. But at home, the family was just wonderful. He was the center of the family, raised orchids, turned bowls. And, you know, he and his wife could, you know, propagate fruit trees. And even on the Pomoho, how to sew nets, we have a wonderful social fabric in Hawaii. And our job is to guard and protect that. And I feel very, very good about our litigation topics that we really can invest the resources to do right on all of these areas, whether it's asbestos, whether it's tobacco, whether it's traumatic brain injury, or whether it's the elder abuse, or even there's another area, foodborne illnesses. It's all generated. There's a safety net out there, for better or worse, that doesn't always work, and we want to make it all better.
You know, and I, that's really lofty. That's one of the reasons why, and I think I explained to you, Tony, when you and I first started talking, we started talking about, wow, you know, how's this all going to play and how's it going to work? How do you get and grab a hold of these things? Do you find that people, well, listen to a program like this, they can hear sort of what we're doing, are going to say, all right, I trust these guys. Let me give you a reason why I ask that. If you ask somebody, who's your dentist? And they'll say, well, so-and-so is my dentist. He's the best dentist in Hawaii. You say, really? How many did you go to? I mean, because most of it just went to one. And we're happy with that service. What about that when somebody is looking into, maybe a listener, who to call? I mean, what law firm should they put their trust in? Who should they go see?
Yeah, well, when it comes to senior care options, a lot of the times, like we're talking about with the marketing materials, it can be misleading. It can be exceptionally misleading. And so that's what we're here to do, like Gary says. Yeah. Get invested with these clients, figure out exactly what's going on, and if we can help them.
I like free kick in the tires. That's what I like. Call me up, you know, tell me what's up, and I would imagine that there are some times, and I think, Gary, when we first started talking about putting this program together, there are some times when a person may be all fired up to go sue somebody and they don't have a basis for a suit.
No, that's the other point that I was going to make, Mike, is that we have the resources in our office to really wage war in these battles. That, you know, we have to have a team of experts, and we can literally spend hundreds of thousands of dollars if we have to, and we will if that's what's required. So our firm has that kind of resources. By the same token, when someone comes to us, it's confidential. They have the benefit of everyone in our office and our whole team looking at it, and we make a sober analysis. But once we appear on behalf of someone, we're going to see it through. So we're different in that regard as well.
Well,
and with respect to
you, I know you.
With respect to your story about the dentist and the best one, there's a lot of great dentists. One of my roommates at UCLA, I used to be on a surf team or club together, was here in Hawaii, John DeBeale. But, you know, if they say they got the best thing, they're the best dentist, and I'm looking at them, they got all huggy muggy teeth.
Right.
I don't think so. So same thing with lawyers. Yeah, you know, you got to ask around.
Don't get a diet written by a fat chef, right? You know, that's not going. But what I'm getting at is that there was a time, Gary, and we talked about this when we first started launching this program, where you went out and hung your shingle, and now over 30 odd years later of helping people in Hawaii doing what they're doing, and with a team, you are able to devote resources to something line with no guarantee at the other end. If you're passionate about something, you're going to get your team to go roll on it. That's the difference, I think, here.
No. I mean, I've had people close to me think I'm nuts because you should retire. Other defendants have asked me, or retire. I couldn't imagine a more valuable, worthwhile life than the life that I'm living right now. And the people I have around me are engaged. They believe in what we're doing. And we won't do something we don't really believe in.
Hey Tony, it sounds to me like he tries to deflect praise. You know, you tell him he's doing a great job and he wants to do a stand-up routine on it. But in actual fact, you know, and I'm sure you represent the you know, the energy and the youth end of the practice, that it must be a great place to go to, knowing that your boss is going to put resources into things when you can prove they're necessary.
Oh, without a doubt. And we've had the benefit of having previously litigated several of these cases here locally in Hawaii. So we have the benefit of all those prior resources. We've forged relationships with the top national experts, people in the FDA, people in the CPSC. We're in with these people, and we can use these resources moving forward.
There you go. And that's going to wrap it up for this time. I hope you've learned something, and I hope you go to GallagherLaw.com and get this all figured out, and tell everybody that depending on when you're listening, you know, we are here for you in the afternoon on Saturday, but also at 6 o'clock in the morning, the eye opener Gary Gallagher Law Hour at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time, and remember, Gallagher Law, that's GALLIHER, GallagherLaw.com.
Well, that's our program for today, and we certainly hope you'll come back next week for our next episode. In the meanwhile, to learn more about Team Gallagher, log on to GallagherLaw.com. That's GALLIHER Law.com.